Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Are you having an exciting time?
I'm having an exciting time. Got all these sensations in my body.
I bet. No music, lots of reverberation, computers that freeze up, phone lines that don't work. Oh, my.
You know, it's funny. I didn't realize this, but the clock on my computer froze at 4:48.
Wow.
And I kept waiting for it to get to 4:49 and then 4:50 so that I would start the show.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't move.
And at some point,
I looked at my watch.
Uh-huh.
And I clicked buttons and nothing responded.
Oh, I'm telling you, I don't know about other people, but that captures perfectly my life recently. Perfectly.
And as you're fond of saying, it's a rich opportunity for spiritual practice.
Isn't it? To just say, you know, this really cannot be about me.
Yes.
It just can't. It has to be larger than that. So if I'm going to take this on and take it personally, well, that would be an exercise in unhappiness, but that would be about all I'd get out of it. So really, why? Why do that?
Yes.
Why not just get it that, huh?
Huh.
What's going on? Huh.
Again, huh?
Yeah, I'll be darned.
And to me, one of the beauties of practice and of paying attention and having the experience of paying attention is, and particularly with the radio show, this has happened before.
Yeah.
This is going to happen again.
Yeah, and we all survived.
And we all lived.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, what you're saying is really quite perfect because that goes on all the time, everywhere. You know, there's this thing that happened and, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And it's just so big and it's so important and it's so meaningful and, you know, a week later, a month later, a year later, 10 years later, 100 years later, it is truly gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on how big it really was. And, yeah, we just take it all way too seriously.
Yeah.
That's because we make everything mean something about us. And, gosh, it just doesn't.
Wow. Well, I had some good news. I had a good news person lined up, and I saw them, and then everything froze, and now I don't see them.
Well, you know, that's one of the, I don't know how long Mercury has been retrograde. I think it has been the entire time that Penny, that we've been trying to get Penny on this radio show to deliver some good news to us.
Yeah.
So I'm certain that as the stars fall into a different alignment, it's going to happen for us. We're going to get Penny on the radio. She's going to deliver that good news to us. I feel it.
Yes, yes. And if I do see her return, I will certainly move her to the top of the queue.
All right.
And given the queue, we have a lot of callers here.
Perfect.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey, Sherry. This is Freddie from Nevada.
Hi, Freddie.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been interesting lately. And so I think I called a couple times, and your recommendation was just make a friend out of yourself and be there for yourself. And I've finally come to accept that. And conditioning, I think, definitely kind of stepped up its game, you know, since I've kind of decided on that. And so,
oh, yes. It's
surprise,
the old
surprise, right?
Red flag in front of a bull, isn't it?
Exactly. So I've been really up and down. Like my wife's noticed lately, I guess what I project is centered, you know, nothing's changed. Just I'm accepting what is. And then I'll get pulled out with a story. And then, you know, I immediately, you know, kind of, you know, sink into pretty much a depressive state, and until I kind of, you know, cycle through that and I'm able to come out of that again. And so what I've noticed is a duality of, you know, when I do, you know, I'm centered, and then something, a story slams me, like, I only have three friends, and you're not close, you're not that close to them, and then the duality is you need to make friends, and it's some forcing issues, so, you know, obviously it's kind of set up to fail from the beginning, and then I go to the, you know, back other end of the spectrum where you can't make friends, you don't know how to do it, you're a loser, and then I start projecting in the future, and it's just really this yo-yo effect. I go back and forth between I'm able to accept everything, but then I get pulled out of these stories that I know that I shouldn't be believing, but it's very hard not to.
Yes. Well, it's very hard not to in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, you can look back on a time not that far in the past when all of this was just it would have been impossible to consider.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And look where you are now. Now you're watching it. Now you're aware that it has this yo-yo effect. So now that you've caught on to this, of course, we're always standing at the place where we're standing and looking at what we can see from here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, conditioning wants to come in with essentially the same program for us. And for a while, we fall for it because what we're looking at seems completely new. You with me?
Yes.
Yeah, so you look at your life and conditioning is beating you up saying, you know, you're a loser and nothing works for you and never has and never will. Then you go along and you're doing practice and you've gotten to all these different places and it says, you're a loser, nothing works for you, never has, and it never will. And because you're looking now at your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your children, you're looking at, you know, different issues in your life, you go, oh, that's really true. Okay, then you move through that. Then you get to this place where, you know, what I really need to do is be a friend to myself. Okay, well, but that's not working because you're not able to disidentify from the voices of conditioning. So you're a loser, and this doesn't work for you, and nothing ever has, and nothing ever... So as you stay with it, you will begin to see how that process shows up over and over and over again, and you'll see it not from a point of view of, okay, yeah, I can see it, but there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah, I can see it, and I know what I should do about it, but it's not working. Yeah, I can. You'll just realize that, oh, yeah, there it is again.
And then it's almost kind of, as you said that, as like no matter the content, this is a process that is happening regardless of, you know, what it is. That's kind of what I'm
precisely
catching on to. Yeah.
And here are the constants in this. There is something wrong, and there's not enough, and you are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So conditioning just looks out. What's wrong? What's lacking? It's your fault. What's wrong? What's lacking? It's your fault. And because the content is constantly changing, you know, we do get fooled. But you're getting closer and closer and closer to realizing how that same process is cycling through over and over again with different content. And as soon as that clicks into place for you, you know, then it's just simply a matter of practicing what you know. Yes, I see it. What do? I drop it. Where do I go when I drop it? Here. Yes, I see it. What do when I see it? I drop it. And what happens when I drop it? I come back here.
And I've been counting breaths, and that's really the only thing sometimes that I can really hold on to, because we mentioned before in a previous call, is do not engage voices at all. And so, it's been interesting because sometimes I'll get to 2 and then I'm off, or sometimes I'll get to, you know, 9 or 10. So, but that's the only thing, and just try to stay in the present, tell myself regardless if the voices say I've got to do this right now, I've got to do this in order to feel better, is just to say this is, you know, only thing I can do is be here right now. There's nothing that I can do outside of myself.
That's right. and
change
you can also remind yourself that you're a really good person, you're trying really hard, you're working really hard at this, you're making good progress, you're seeing through this, practice is working, here is where you want to be. You know, you don't need to engage with the voices in order to be in a relationship. You can be in a relationship with yourself in a way that is supportive, mentoring, you know, the kind
yeah.
of relationship you'd want to be in with your children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't necessarily have to drop that conversation, turn our attention away from the voices of conditioning, and then just kind of come back to nothing. I mean, coming
yeah.
back to the breath is wonderful. Before long, of course, they'll start saying, yeah, and so what is this? What's going on? You're still a loser.
Yeah, no,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, so it's
definitely.
Good to have that other focus. You know, here I am. I have a great life. I have people who love me. I have people I love. You know, I have things to do. My body works. I can, you know, I can go around in the world and enjoy all of my senses and enjoy the things that life offers me. You know,
yeah.
there's a lot to talk about when the conversation it doesn't consist of what's wrong with you and how it's your fault.
Yeah, and then conversation like with that appears either neutral or positive. I mean, I've heard you say in the archives and stuff that there's no conversation necessary. Is that in regards to, I guess, neutral and maybe even some positive conversations
well,
in the head?
No conversation is necessary, and it's a practice. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing, of course, the first thing that people have to do is wake up to the fact that they're in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then go through these stages of, okay, I recognize it. Boy, that's ugly. That's why I don't feel good because
yeah.
these voices are saying awful things to me all the time. Okay, but I still believe them. Okay, now I can see that that's not true. All right, I don't believe them, but they're still there. Okay, and then we move into the stage of, all right, if we're going to be in a conversation, how about if it's a pleasant conversation? So
yeah.
now we turn to all of the things that work and what we like and what we enjoy and what we're grateful for, and we begin to live in that conversation. And as we do that, the need to do that gradually decreases. In the same way that, you know, when you mentioned your wife just a little bit ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're in a marriage.
Yeah.
Currently, yeah. Okay, so when the two of you first, how long have you been married?
4 years.
Okay, well, if you could still be there, I don't know. say you'd been married 25 years, okay, and you look back and you remember what it was like to be first in love. And you're just so in love, and it's just all you think about. You just can't say I love you enough during the day and that sort of thing. It's just that's kind of the nature of the conversation. And then as the relationship goes along and things kind of return to normal, we hope they never completely return to normal, but, you know, other things begin to, well, and this is, you have children, and they, you know, you have work, you have friends, you have various things that are important to you in your life. And so that need to be in that constant conversation about how much in love we are kind of falls away, but the love doesn't.
Okay.
Is that a good example?
Yeah.
So you'll establish a relationship with this guy that lets him know he is loved and admired and approved of and supported and cared about, and he won't need to be talking about it all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that. And then I do always get caught up with I need and, you know, to do something, right, about this issue as far as, and it happens to be the friend thing right now. I've got to do more. And it's, and I always bite on that. And it's not working out, but it always, it's something I have not been able to get through. And
I'm sure,
to keep looking.
I'm sure I've said this to you any number of times.
I'm sure you have.
But the secret to it truly is to be a friend to you. And,
okay.
And what that means is, you know, if you had a friend, what would you do with your friend?
Hang out, whatever we find that's interesting, you know, in the moment, I guess. So.
Okay. But so you might go to something, right? Like,
yeah.
Typically, let's get stereotypical here. You might go to a ball game.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's what you do. You take this guy to a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And really enjoy it. Not a, oh, well, okay, I don't have any friends, so I have to go by myself. But to be in that place where there is no company you would rather have than your own.
Yeah.
Okay? From that will grow friendships with other people.
Yeah.
And it's
conditioning didn't like that.
Huh?
Conditioning did not like that.
Oh, no.
I feel like the whole,
yeah,
like kind of grasping for,
oh,
you know, me to stay in this. So, I understand.
Conditioning can torture you over this issue. So
yeah,
having you resolve it is not, mm-hmm, is not going to be popular. But
exactly.
The thing about it is, it's a really good deal because this guy is not going to settle for being the unchosen one. So if you could go with conditioning, and a lot of people, of course, do, what's going on is, I'm not enough. I'm not enough by myself. Other people are more important. I need them to give me something that I don't have. And
yeah,
what that says, that's a really clear message to me, that I'm not valuable. I'm not desirable. And the situation that you're in, because of the awareness that you bring to it, is that he is going to come first. And everybody else is going to come second. And that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So he will have relationships with people because he enjoys them. And because,
yeah,
he approaches them as equal participants in enjoying life. Not because he is somehow less than and lacking and needs something from somebody else to be all right.
Yeah.
I think he's onto a great program. You know, when you get to the point where your relationship with him is enough, is fulfilling, then it'll be time to bring some other people into the relationship.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing was, is like, I asked myself at times, you know, what would my life be like if I didn't have these stories or this need for more, and it would just be just basically just live life. And it's something, but you're right, it catches me to the point where I'm not able or not letting myself do that because it's, you know,
right,
I need to maintain it and all that. So yeah,
right,
what you said is bringing,
yeah,
it to,
and what it tells you, what it wants you to believe is, if you have this other thing, then your life would feel complete. But
yeah,
when you step back and you have, what you see is, no, it promises me that, and it's taking away this.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
And then, just to recap, you said as far as when the stories hit, just projection and then a reflective listening.
Yeah.
And just stay with the breath and just, I guess I always feel like there's got to be something more, but I think that, you know, I heard before you say to other people that that's ego just trying to.
That's right.
Kind of ruin everything.
So, you know, back to that, you're this way, and then you're this way, and then you're this way, and then you're this way. And it's basically the same duality that you're going between, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so if you begin to look at it in terms of seeing nighttime as a failure of daytime, you begin to get a sense of how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you feel this, now you feel that, now you feel this, now you feel that, now you feel this, now you feel that. Yeah. If it didn't mean anything, it would just be, oh, now I feel this, now I feel that.
Yeah. It'd be so easier if we didn't see meaning in things.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
but
way easier. And again, if you notice, the one making meaning is egocentric karmic conditioning.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then finish up with the fear. So you really can't encounter fear because when you kind of open up to it, it's not there.
Right.
But and then the cause of the fear. I mean, in this case, would be just the need for more, and that would be,
well,
is that something
fear,
you can address, right?
Fear is an experience. You know, it's
yeah.
First of all, it's just sensations in the body in a story, and they're
yeah.
put together as a way of controlling you. So when that happens, when those sensations kick in and you get that story, conditioning tells you what to do, and you're meant to hop into line and do whatever it tells you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to begin to realize that and just to look at the sensations, okay, my heart is pounding and my palms are sweaty and my stomach's in a knot. Okay. what do I need to do? Well, nothing, actually. And
yeah.
as you just notice it and play with sitting there breathing, you breathe, pretty soon the sensations fall away and nothing happened.
Yeah,
very
definitely.
Good.
Okay, all right, Sherry, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Freddie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have 4 more callers here.
Right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Jen from New York.
Hey, Jen.
Hello. I called last week and asked a question about relationships and how to accept what is at the same time asking for what you want.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I had an experience this week that illuminated a lot about the relationship, and it was about nothing to do with the relationship, so that was helpful.
Uh-huh. Easier
to see looking at something else. And it's about mentoring and looking at the sub-personalities. I'm on day 16, 17 of the self-guided retreat, of the Making a Change for Good retreat.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I had this experience of the day that I was trying to identify who was present. So I was stopping really often and saying, okay, who's here right now? And I was coming up with these long answers to that question sometimes, like, well, the person that really thinks that really feels like we need to get back in touch with this guy and have a conversation and apologize about a few things. And I'd be like, that's like a lot. It just and then
like
when I started, what's that?
Sounds like a story.
It sounds like a story. And then when I tried to start mentoring these parts, it was a nightmare. It was an argument, and it got very circular. And so I wasn't seeing it around the relationship, but I've been on vacation the last 5 or 6 days and was up in Maine, or not Maine, I was in Vermont and New Hampshire, and camping and hiking, and it's gorgeous here. It's fall. It's the peak of fall. So it was particularly beautiful, and I did this vacation by myself and used it like a little retreat.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was really nice. And coming home yesterday, the transition home was really, really hard. So I was watching that as I, you know, sort of got in the car, and it was another beautiful day. We've had a stretch of warm weather, and there was all this conversation about I should really be out there hiking. This is a waste of a day to be driving in the car. And, you know, I got I felt myself get smaller and smaller and angrier and angrier the closer I got to home, and eventually was seeing all these conversations about okay, and I try and ask, like, okay, well, who's here right now? Well, the person who hates your job is here right now because we've got to quit our job and move back to New Hampshire because it's so much more beautiful there. And it was just so I realized that I've been trying to mentor the self-hate.
Oh.
And that I actually wanted to ask about this. Like, is this the sub-personalities, what they're feeling, is it pretty simple?
Yes.
It's like, I'm
yes.
sad that vacation's ending.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
well,
it.
Yeah. And maybe not even that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just, wow, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's that, and then that creates an opening for, oh, and it's going to be over soon, and you have
yeah.
to leave it, and that's huge, isn't it? That is just such a big awareness to have.
Oh, it was awesome. It was, and then I felt like I could look at the relationship in a whole different way, and say, you know what? There is a part of me that is sad to not be spending time with him anymore. End of
uh-huh.
story. You know?
Yes.
Like I miss him. Yeah. And end of story. And, you know, it doesn't change any of my decision to leave the relationship or any of that. And there doesn't need to be a conversation.
That's right. You know, I would like a transporter room so that I could spend a couple of days a week in exotic places that I've always wanted to visit. However, that is just it.
So I tried the mentoring again last night in a way that rather than identifying who was present first, I just started talking and just started saying some of the stuff you just said to the last caller. You know, I'm here for you. You know, you're doing a great job. I'm totally supportive. And it was funny because the sub-personality started to come out.
Yes.
You know, like I couldn't identify who was there per se at first, but then it was like when I started being nice, they all showed up and were like, could you be nice to me for a second? You know?
Yes, yes, yeah. And there is that, now, not that you can't get a surly teenager once in a while who can make you think, you know, you've hit self-hate again. But for the most part, there is that kind of childlike quality to them. They are simple. And even the ones who have gotten old enough that they're hurt about something or upset about something, it doesn't tend to hang around. So, say if you're in a situation where you had a really hard relationship with with one of your parents, and as an adult you still see them, and that little person always gets triggered in those visits and that sort of, then it can go on over a period of time.
Yeah.
But even in that situation, you know, the little person is there, you've established a relationship with her such that you can say, it's okay, you know, you don't need to do this, here, read this book, and I'll go visit with these people, and then I'll come and get you, and we'll go do something fun afterwards. And they're fine with it.
That's an interesting idea, yeah, to sort of let somebody off the hook.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so much suffering in people's lives because conditioning always sends the wrong person to the...
for the job.
And so actually, literally, 3- and 4-year-olds are going to work every day and having to talk to the boss and, just do all of these things that they really are not qualified to do. And then, of course, get left to take a lot of beatings and self-hatred when they can't do what they never could do. Yeah. And, of course, the magic in this, the beauty of it is your life is transforming. You
totally
are becoming the centered, kind, compassionate presence that you wished for all of your life growing up, that they desperately still need, that you always want to run into in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful thing that we get to become what we've always wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel that transformation happening totally in my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's grand.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. One of the things I noticed in the process, well, obviously, this is awareness practice, but the awareness is key because that feeling happens, and in the fraction of a second, so the conditioning steps in to start the story.
Yes.
So, and I was confused for a while because I thought it was sort of just a dominant subpersonality, and I call it the doer. But I think that, I mean, that may be there, I suppose, but because every time I feel something, there has to be action taken.
That's right. And what you're onto is key. That's conditioning. That's what it feels like when conditioning comes in to try to crowd out the awareness and block out the insight that you've just had.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, for you and for Freddie and for everybody else in this position, It's very difficult to realize how much work has taken place. When you were describing You've been on the vacation, you've been doing this, and then you're driving along and you're watching what's happening with you. You're watching the sensations in your body. You're watching the conversation start. I mean, so much work has to happen to get to that place. And, of course, that's the kind of thing that we never get to have credit for, because conditioning is so quick to jump in and try to turn our attention to what's wrong and what's missing.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, because it's certainly true. I've called before and talked to you about my main sort of piece of karma in this life is compulsive eating, binge eating, and I've been working with that for a couple years, and I had a little episode happen yesterday, and it was like, it didn't matter that it was happening for, the first time in my life, it wasn't about the food. Like, it was like, oh, look what's happening.
Yes.
Like, I've gotten so wrapped up in this, I feel so depressed and negative right now. Now I'm doing this, and look at how I'm doing that. It was so fascinating. And today was fine. There's no food issue today. Like, it's just, and that could not have happened in my world 2 years ago,
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that we really need to remind ourselves of regularly. Because it just gets swept away in this rush of, but there's still this and there's still that. And so, that's so perfect. I try to encourage people all the time to just go ahead and do whatever this is that you do with all of the conscious awareness you can bring to it, because that's where the freedom is. What you've just described is it. You watch that a few times, you catch on to who's there, what happened to her, how all of this got put in place. You know what she really needs. You learn to give her that directly, and she doesn't want to eat. She never did want to eat.
Right.
It was never about the food. So that's wonderful that you're seeing
that. I've just appreciate this practice so much. I've been doing reflective listening since it started, and I'm just constantly reading the books and listening to the archives, and it's like I've just swim in it.
And we have to.
Yeah.
We have to. We're going to swim somewhere, and either it's going to be in that toxic waste pool, or it's going to be in freedom and joy. So.
And it's funny, because it's not like, you say this a lot, and I did my first silent retreat earlier this year at a Vipassana center out here in the East, and they said it at the beginning of the retreat as well. It's like, trust the practice.
Yeah.
Just keep showing up and do the practice. It's like, you don't have to fix, I haven't had to fix anything. Get to do the practice, and all these things are being shown to me, or resolved, or however you want to say it. Yeah.
Yep.
So thank you so much.
Shining that light of awareness. Everything is revealed, and the path just opens up in front of you. It really is effortless. All right. Well,
so
thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jen. Sherry, this is like the success show.
Yeah. Well,
it's great.
And again, just to underline that, how resistant conditioning is to letting people know that it really is working. So, it's wonderful to hear from people. And, of course, we can often hear that it's working in their lives before they can hear that it's working. But it really is fun to hear from people who I've been doing it for this long. This is what I've been looking at. This is what I've seen. I'm having these breakthroughs. It's good.
It is wonderful. Because the information I always get from conditioning, as you just said, is what's still wrong with me, what's still not working, on and on.
Yeah. So I don't know how many minutes there are in the day, but, 99 and 44 100% of them are great, and conditioning is going to focus in on the handful of moments where it could get its foot in the door and say, there's a mistake. You did that wrong. You shouldn't have done that. That was unskillful. You weren't present for that. And it gets all of the spotlights put on it. So,
Hey,
Michael, with our technological problems, we are not able to have any of our commercials, are we? Our sponsor break.
That's true.
So we should just say Zen Blues Quartet.
Yes.
And we should say Porch Dog Software.
You know, I've heard both of them so long, I should be able to recite them.
I know.
From memory.
I know. And we could hum the music along.
I could hum the music.
In the back.
It's so funny.
But
because
we haven't forgotten them. And as soon as we get all of our technology lined up, then they'll be back strumming and singing with us. So
that is so funny. To put the mind on the spot in that way, to try to remember something, and it's completely unavailable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Sherry, we have three more callers, and we have about 20 minutes.
All right. You know, you can tell me how many callers we have and how much time we have, but, you know, it'll still go however it goes. It's not like I can say, okay, that's 6.5 minutes. For...
Let's see, 20 divided by 3,
that way.
6 2/3.
I'll try, though.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Seattle.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing great.
Oh, good.
This is the gratitude show, so
yeah.
I have to stick with that. And I haven't called in since last March because the voices got to me and told me that I couldn't. So I've banished them for at least tonight.
Very good.
actually, I was walking. I walk every day and listen to the podcast. And of the show, and I get so much out of it, and I'm just realizing, wow, well, maybe I could call in because I'm getting so much out of this, so maybe I could contribute. So that's why I'm calling.
That is an essential point for all of us. We get information. I mean, Michael may know the details of this, but I hear how many people listen to the archives. And I think, gosh, I hope people don't just start only listening to the archives and not listen to the show and not call in, because if that's the case, pretty soon there won't be any archives. So thank you for picking up the phone and being one of the people who people can listen to on the archives.
Well, it's really been helpful because I'm taking the email class right now, and things have been really tough, but what that's brought up is tons of gratitude that it has been tough, because it's like when things are tough, I don't have any choice. I have to cling to every tool of practice that I know, and I have to just, like one of the other callers said, I have to swim in it.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I'm going to sink.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Somebody said to me just today, you know, in a way, what's happening with the economy is kind of a relief, because I've been torn between, well,
you have 2 minutes left on this call.
Should I turn my attention to practice, or should I, take responsibility for earning money and saving for my retirement and focusing on the things that the world says are really important? Well, there's only one left at this point, and that's practice. And so, it is good. Not that we need hard times in order to practice, because certainly gratitude and bliss and joy and all of those things are wonderful to practice with too. But it is good to have enough adversity that we remember that we want to keep those muscles really strong and tuned up for those kinds of times.
Well, for me, it's just kind of a different experience, because always in the past, I've been able to do the things that that are good for me and practice and do the things I know I need to do only in good times. But then when the tough times come, I just haven't been able to do them.
You just hunker down and
survive. I can't do this anymore. And but this time I'm. I don't know what is different. Whether I've practiced enough that I can now do it, or whether it's a different situation. The commitment that I made for the class has thrown me into doing something that's really big for me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of living a bigger life.
Good for you.
And it has just come down hard.
Uh-huh.
Just slammed me.
Yeah.
And I'm getting all the messages and all the stuff about how I can't and you shouldn't and what
yep.
a mistake and
Yep.
And so every single day I have to plug in.
Yeah, and it's fabulous, isn't it? Because with this practice opportunity that we're doing, everybody goes into it with their eyes wide open, I'm hoping. Or at least that seems like most people have. You know, I'm going to commit to doing
this. I'm sorry.
Really?
You have exceeded your time limit on this call. Sorry, we cannot process your call at the moment. Please try again later.
Michael?
Sherry, are you there?
Yes.
I think Lisa's phone card ran out.
Oh, is that what happened?
I think so.
Okay. I didn't think my phone card ran out, but I didn't know what that woman was talking about.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So maybe she'll recharge and call us back later today or next week.
That'd be great because we had just gotten into a good place. In fact, I'm going to finish that thought.
Okay, good.
So we go into something, and very rarely, it seems to me, outside of a practice environment, does this happen where we say, okay, now I'm going to do this really, really hard thing in order to see what happens. You know, in the world, all right, I have to do this really, really hard thing. Oh, God, I probably can't. I'm probably going to fail. Oh, no, you'll never make it. This is going to be proof that that you really are a loser and a failure. But to go into it saying, I'm going to do this really hard thing just so I can watch how conditioning tries to stop me. That's a whole different deal. And
yes.
it's marvelous. So as Lisa is saying, and I'm thinking that this is what's going on with her, even though all of that stuff is coming at her, because she invited it in, it's a different relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not like it's sneaking up on her in the dark of the night. She said, okay, come after me. I'm going to do this thing that you said all my life I can't do, and I'm going to do it. So come on.
Yeah. What occurs to me is that in that place, I can't really take it as personally as I usually do.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's like, it's the difference between walking down the street and somebody jumps out from an alley and mugs you and deciding that you're going to take up boxing and you train and you get in a ring with somebody.
Yes.
Very, very different circumstances.
Yes.
All right.
Wonderful.
Well, what next, Michael?
We have two more callers, and before we do that, I wanted to mention the website for our sponsors.
Oh, very good.
Okay, so we have the Zen Blues Quartet, and their website is zenbluesmusic.com. And our other sponsor is Porch Dog Software, and their web address is porchdogsoft.com.
Very good.
And hopefully when we get our technology going again, we'll hear those wonderful sponsor ads again.
Mm-hmm. I miss them.
I do too. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Boston.
Hey, Anna.
Hey.
What's going on in Boston?
I don't know. So, one of the things I've been looking at is kind of standards.
Uh-huh.
And I can see that there are standards around a lot of different things, but one of the places I've been looking at them is around practice and what is practice and what does practice look like and kind of when am I practicing, when am I not practicing. There's like this sub-personality. I guess it's just, I can see how conditioning is like anything. So what's going on for me right now is that my practice is looking a lot different than it used to look.
Uh-huh.
And I can see how, and kind of the place that I moved to kind of regularly recently is like, wow, we did something, you know, like, and then conditioning always jumps in and like, you know, has this idea like, well, it's not enough and whatever. And it's just, it's interesting because it's like as soon as I feel, and I know this kind of is the way things work, but it just, it's like anything that feels like it's like, wow, big success. And then I can see how, you know, just conditioning just wants to jump in and be like, but, you know, this doesn't look like the way it's supposed to look.
Yes, and that's not too much of a surprise, is it?
No, it's really not a big surprise. And at the same time, it...
it's a misery.
It is, and it... I guess I can see how I'm totally aware that that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. And yet, still, on some level, there's this almost like disbelief that I'm practicing. Like,
okay. Shall I give you a definition, a working definition of practice?
Yes.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Unconditional love and acceptance.
Right.
And it takes the argument out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't blah, blah.
Yeah. Well,
what would practice be under those circumstances? Unconditional
I love,
love
you.
And acceptance. That's right.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you slept too late and you didn't meditate. Well, the only thing we can do in a case like that is unconditional love and acceptance.
Yeah.
And, of course, what people, you know, what conditioning wants to jump in with is, oh, yeah, oh, that's, oh, sure, that's a great practice. You know, you're never going to meditate again the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, actually you will. Because you like to be with unconditional love and acceptance.
Yeah, and it's as you say that, it's like it. I can see how that conversation comes up, and one of the things that that comes up is like, yeah, well, maybe I won't, and I still love you. I guess it's really helpful to see that is kind of what's going on, because it's like. Conditioning is pointing to the different pieces of content,
uh-huh.
and they're like, oh, this is proof, and there's someone who's believing them, and I guess I'm kind of realizing that there's also a part of me that doesn't really believe them.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess that's kind of really good to see.
It's really good to see. And
yeah.
The thing about conditioning. Conditioning wants to keep a person in a corral. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you've got the corral that you're allowed to live in, and
right.
You know you're free to go wherever you want as long as you stay within the corral.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all of the things that have been significant, or most of the things, well, let's say all of the things that have been significant in our lives have happened when we've gotten outside the corral.
That's right.
So here you are in a place where now, you know, your life circumstances have changed, and
mm-hmm.
So things are different, and conditioning,
yeah.
of course, wants to point out how that's wrong and that it's your fault that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't have been able to see what you have seen in this
mm-hmm.
without those circumstances.
Yeah.
So if...
Yeah.
Yeah, if we realize that the one bottom line commitment that we've made is to awareness,
mm-hmm.
and if we keep paying attention best we can, stay with awareness as best we can, then we are going to continue to see.
Right.
And the things that we will see will reveal more and more ways that conditioning can come up with to try to make us miserable. But,
yeah.
But the fact that those are being revealed doesn't mean there's anything wrong. That's the good news.
Yeah. Yeah, it does really feel like there's a lot of stuff being revealed. It's totally, it feels like it's like there's this whole thing that kind of was just different stuff is cycling through recently, and things just seem really, the stories even that I get caught inside are somewhat different patterns than, I mean, they can't really be different as I say that, but they somehow seem different in some ways than the ones that were cycling through all these big shifts in content.
Yeah, sure. And it would be, we all packed up and moved to Beijing, things would look really different to us.
Yeah.
And we would when we got to the bottom, we would still get down to, I like this, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But the what I like and don't like would be so different that it would take a while to sort out the content from the process.
Right.
And the thing that, for me, is significant about what you're talking about, or what we're talking about, is that as you go along in practice, it is wonderful for each of us to work out our own salvation diligently. There's no question about that. And we also want to look ahead to an opportunity to be helpful. So down the road, somebody comes to you and says, I've been meditating, and I know you're a meditator, and I've been having this situation come up. And you will have been meditating and practicing awareness long enough that you'll be able to say, that does. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah? Because you've been there, you watched it arise, you've seen what it is, you've come to a place of peace about it doesn't trouble you any longer.
Yeah.
That's helpful. But
that's
if you
really,
just
yeah.
stayed in that corral, you could become a real expert on everything that happens in that corral, but you wouldn't be much help to anybody.
This is so helpful this is just really, really helpful, because it feels like what's required is, like this stuff, which kind of stuff that's coming out and these things that are sort of moving through and these conversations that are happening right now is, in some way, there's like, I think before I'm sort of experiencing them, it was like this other, it was like this thing that, not me. I mean, I wouldn't, I don't have those sorts of things go on or whatever. I'm not that kind of person. And now it's happening, and I feel like I'm able to bring some level of, I love you, regardless of kind of what's going on, I love you, and I sort of am seeing how it happens.
Yes.
And it does feel like that. It does feel like that, I think, there is a knowing that this is, it will really assist me. It is really assisting me.
This is an important set of steps on the path.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think that it's so helpful for us to keep in mind is it really, truly, honest to God is not personal.
Right.
You just look at this person's life and go, wow, these are the kinds of things that happen to a human being. These are the kinds of thoughts human beings have. These are the kinds of things that occur to people. Wow. This is interesting, but it is not personal, and it's not a result of something you've done wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Enjoy the fall, huh?
Yeah, I know. It's my first one, so it's really beautiful.
It's a stunner. All right.
Thanks so much.
Talk to you soon. Good night.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye, Michael.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 2 minutes left, and we have one more caller here.
Shall we just invite this person to talk to us next week?
Sure. Sure. And be first in the queue.
Yeah.
The queue's getting long these days.
Yeah, good.
Yes, yes, it's fun. Sherry, thanks so much for your big willingness.
Oh, my pleasure. My big pleasure.
And great.
Thank you, Michael, for hanging in with all of the technology opportunities that we have been facing. As Mercury slides back into its rightful place in the heavens, our computers will unfreeze and our phones will work and our wonderful sponsors will come back and we'll have music and good news and life will be even better.
Someday, very soon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.